This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Israel is preparing for a direct attack from Iran as soon as today, according to a new report by the Wall Street Journal.
Well, that gives you the warm and fuzzies, right? Just another day in the neighborhood. Brian Mudd in for the great one, Mark Levin. Mark's on a mission. He'll be back with us next week. But in the meantime, well, Joe Biden, yeah, he's on his own kind of mission. He makes the world less safe every single day. That man is president of the United States. The world is less safe. And if you think about it, every day that Donald Trump was president of the United States, the world was a safer place. That was always one of the great ironies. Remember having all those conversations going back to the 2016 cycle with Trump. You know, you'd have the, oh, he's going to be the crazy orange man with the nukes. And those conversations were always fascinating to me because trying to rationalize with people that were, yeah, he's going to be the crazy orange man with the nukes. Like, okay, well, let's imagine for a moment. You really do believe Donald Trump as president of the United States would be the crazy orange man with the nukes. If you're a bad actor anywhere around the world, does that make you more or less likely to want to act badly? See, the irony of it always was, if they believed their own BS, the world would still be a safer place. So for whatever reason, credibility, true peace through strength, bombing the blank out of ISIS as soon as he was president and eliminating their caliphate, that kind of credibility, whatever the reasons are, Donald Trump made the world safer. But man, has the world gone to hell in a handbasket with this jackwagon as president of the United States, Joe Biden. So there are two sides to stories, one side of facts. Those are the facts. It is demonstrable. The world is less safe because of Joe, and the world was safer because of the Donald. Now, over the past day, we have heard first from the Wall Street Journal, as you are hearing Fox's Greg Polcott there, the clip, that Israel preparing for a direct attack from Iran within 48 hours. I mean, that's always fun, which, by the way, if their reporting is accurate, we're down to somewhere in the neighborhood of like 24-ish right now. We've also learned that the United States has pledged to defend Israel if that happens. Okay. First of all, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean when the Biden administration says, yeah, We'll defend Israel. We'll do that. Okay. Do we as Americans even trust the Biden administration when they say that? Do we have any context for what that would look like? At best, this entire situation is a bluff, and Iran is just going to continue to use its proxies to carry out the evil that they do. At worst, it's what? Biblical? If Iran really does directly attack Israel, I mean, A, what does that mean? What does that look like? B, how successful could they potentially be? C, well, if the United States steps in directly, are we looking at World War III? Remember, Iran is not just Iran. Iran is China. Iran is Russia. Iran is Little Rocket Man in North Korea. Iran is Cuba. Iran is Venezuela. Iran is Nicaragua. And perhaps you've noticed a trend with all of these new Axis countries. They're all bad actors. And what have they been doing? They've all been acting especially bad. And progressively more so. Started when Joe became president of the United States. It's become more pervasive. And now, this little window of time we're in, mentioned this to start the year. I was concerned heading into this year that you're going to have a lot of these bad actors that think it's go time. They're going to take a look at Joe and go, this might be our last shot to do whatever it is that we're going to do. Because we feel like we can get away with it with Joe Biden as president. So here we are. That's all part of the world being less safe as well. Now, unfortunately, all of this was predictable from the moment that Biden showed weakness on the world stage. From the moment of that failed withdrawal from Afghanistan. There's so much that was tragic with that. The situation itself was just deplorable in every way. But what it represented was actually the most dangerous and heinous aspect of that entire deal. You know, I was thinking about it with this direct attack, a threat from Iran on Israel. I went back to my notes from that day in 2021 when Afghanistan collapsed, when we lost 13 of our servicemen and women to the terrorist attack as part of the failed withdrawal. I took a look at my notes on that, and it was like, it's as relevant today as it was then. Here's what I said back in August of 2021. And just see how true this rings right now. Joe Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue of the past four decades. Well, that streak's intact. The words of Obama's Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, true once again. After all, should we really have expected the only Obama cabinet member opposed to the raid that took out Osama bin Laden to suddenly start making better decisions? So in wake of yesterday's terror attack, and again, I was referring to the collapse in Afghanistan, I want you to think about what's happened here in practical terms for most of us. Prior to a few weeks ago, when was the last time that you thought about the Taliban? 15, maybe close to 20 years ago? Prior to a few weeks ago, when was the last time you thought about Al-Qaeda? Probably would have been about the time that bin Laden was taken out over a decade ago. Prior to this week, when was the last time that you worried about ISIS? Would have been about 4 years when Trump finished bombing the blank out of them, right? And notice how when the U.S. took out the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, their terror attacks on Americans stopped. And did you notice when Trump bombed the blank out of ISIS, the terror attacks stopped here too? All it's taken is a few months of misguided policy and incompetent leadership, and we've unnecessarily lost 13 American heroes and have untold hundreds, perhaps more, of Americans trapped behind enemy lines. Joe Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue of the past four decades. Only now he has the power to make the entire world less safe. And that's exactly what he's done, in addition to destroying the U.S.'s credibility around the world, and all in just a matter of months. Notice how the intelligence warning of a terror attack wasn't received through U.S. channels, but through the Brits. What does that tell you about our credibility with informants? The strength of our intelligence on the ground. Consider, our intelligence is so broken, along with the directives from the Biden administration, that a terror attack was known to be imminent at that airport, again, this in Kabul, for over 15 hours. And yet we were so flat-footed and compromised, it still was allowed to happen. This is what happens when your plan is to trust a terrorist organization to aid the safe passage of Americans. The decline of the United States and the rate at which it's happening is simply staggering. Every world superpower has fallen. We're ignorant and we've learned nothing from history if we aren't aware of what's currently at stake, especially with China standing as the superpower set to supplant us. My expectations for the Biden administration were low. I was generally the most concerned for our country that I've been in my lifetime when Biden became president. He's managed to be far worse than I'd envisioned. In his address yesterday, he stated, "We will hunt down everyone who perpetrated the attack." By the way, did that ever happen? Did we ever go back? He was very, very adamant at that moment that we are going to go get those terrorists that killed the 13 American servicemen and women, the collapse of Afghanistan, that withdrawal. Did we ever do it? No, never happened. I checked in on numerous occasions with the folks involved with the Pineapple Express. If you remember the Pineapple Express and the aftermath of the collapse of Afghanistan, those were the patriots that took on the rescue mission of Americans that were caught behind enemy lines because, you know, the Biden administration just abandoned them. Anyway, I was told repeatedly that no action was ever taken by the Biden administration to track and to take out those responsible. So he was full of crap there, too. Continuing, though, again, what I said back in August of 2021. However, if he, talking about Biden, were to address everyone responsible for the attack, he'd start by resigning. From our southern border to Afghanistan, this country and this world is a less safe place because Joe Biden is president of the United States. Joe Biden isn't competent enough to be the president of an HOA, let alone the United States. But he is because the dishonest news media didn't properly vet him, and too many Americans take our freedom and our safety for granted. May God help us all. And please pray for the fallen and those in harm's way. Because that's just all there is to it. It's important that we control what we can control, and it starts with engagement in politics at every level, every election. So again, my sentiment, August 27, 2021. And what's changed? What's happened since? Well, let's see. Well, Russia invaded Ukraine. China completed the takeover of Hong Kong, turning their sights on Taiwan and the Philippines. Hamas carried out the largest attack on Jews since the Holocaust, bringing about the Israel-Hamas war. Recently, we saw that ISIS has regained the size and strength to carry out a highly sophisticated terrorist attack, claiming the lives of at least 137 innocent people in Moscow. And on that note, here we go again. You know, it's only been about 3 weeks since ISIS carried out the largest attack they'd carried out since President Trump bombed the blank out of them, ending their caliphate. And once that attack in Moscow happened, what did it teach you? It would only be a matter of time before they'd prove to be a problem elsewhere. And so earlier this week, we learned that ISIS, once again, has been actively recruiting and radicalizing within the United States. There was an 18-year-old in Idaho who was arrested last weekend for his planned plot to carry out a series of Islamic terror attacks at churches. Good times, right? According to FBI Director Christopher Wray, the defendant allegedly pledged loyalty to ISIS and sought to attack people attending churches in Idaho, a truly horrific plan which was detected and thwarted by the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. Well, thank God the FBI caught him before he carried out the attacks. But the question is, how many more are out there? How much longer will ISIS be allowed to proliferate once again? Until a second coming of President Trump? But there's also something else that's changed since then as well. Nearly 10 million undocumented people. In fact, at a presser just a bit ago, former and perhaps future president of the United States said that he believes the number is closer to 16 million, but we'll run with 10. Including close to 2 million people not been interdicted, even by Border Patrol. What did FBI Director Christopher Wray have to say about all this? We'll dive into all that next. I'm Brian Mudd, in for the great one.
Mudd Levin.
Our once mighty dollar is under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professionals.
Until now, the U.S. has been facing Iranian proxies, but in the wake of the Israeli airstrike on April 1st in Damascus that killed the Iranian Revolutionary Guard general and six other top Iranian commanders responsible for arming Iran's proxy groups, Iran appears poised to avenge that attack with a massive show of force targeting Israeli territory.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin, and the difference up to this point, you've had the proxies that have been carrying out Iran's evil. The Wall Street Journal reporting a direct attack, and also the Biden administration, including the president himself earlier today, confirming that's what they believe. Which, by the way, in the grand scheme of sounding weak, when you're the president of the United States, you're kind of like, Iran's probably going to attack real soon. That's great, right? I mean, that really, again, projects all kinds of strength. I'm sure that Iran heard Biden mumble that he expects them to attack Israel directly and felt like they should do something different. Just unreal. Just unreal. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. And talking about Joe Biden making the world less safe, his very existence as president of the United States. And he does it in every possible way. The catalyst for all of this, and by all of this, I mean every bit of unrest that has opened up around the world in the past 3 years. The gateway to all that was the failed withdrawal from Afghanistan and the weakness that displayed on the world stage. But then what we do to undermine our own national security across our border. As 10 million plus undocumented people, that is the official term by the federal government, have entered the United States since Joe Biden became president. In response to the way this has all been going down, yet FBI Director Christopher Wray testified to Congress warning, quoting Wray, the number of illegal immigrants evading Border Patrol agents and escaping into the country is a source of great concern for the agency, and threats from the other side of the border are consuming FBI field offices. Oh, that's fun, isn't it? By the way, you notice how Wray actually uses the term illegal immigrants. He doesn't use the politically correct terms here in discussing this. Seems like he's actually concerned about a legitimate threat. It's too bad the Biden administration in total isn't. We're going to talk about the implications, maybe get some of your thoughts on this as well next. Brian Mudd in for the great one, Mark Levin.
Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, making conservatism great again. Dial in now, 877-381-3811.
Israel's military leaders are touring troop and weapons installations amidst intelligence and state media reports the Iranian regime is close to conducting some sort of attack on Israel. Yoav Gallant is defense minister.
And I am certain that the world understands well today what Iran is. The terrorist body that incites terror attacks across the Middle East, funds Hamas, Hezbollah, and other forces, and now threatens Israel.
Yeah, so happy Friday, everybody. Yeah, we might have a direct attack from Iran on Israel. Other than that, it's just sunshine and lollipops. Welcome to Joe Biden's America, Joe Biden's world, really, where we have an open border and we have all kinds of concerns and threats of terrorism from those that have come across the southern border, let alone just the daily crime and dysfunction that's associated with it, a lot of which I'm going to be getting to. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. You can catch me on social at Brian Mudd Radio. By the way, I host the Brian Mudd Show, my home station, WJNO in West Palm Beach. And you can always catch my podcast as well, The Brian Mudd Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Pleasure being here with you every time I have the opportunity. And Mark is on a mission. He's going to be back with us next week, but you actually don't have to wait that long to catch him. Be sure that you have your DVR set for this weekend, the brand new Life, Liberty, and Levin shows. You got them 8 Eastern, both tomorrow and Sunday, so Saturday and Sunday. Guests for Saturday's show, Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee. And on Sunday, you know, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and General Jack Keane. All right, so left off talking about FBI Director Christopher Wray's testimony to Congress recently, where he said the number of illegal immigrants evading Border Patrol agents and escaping into the country is a great source of concern for the agency, and threats from the other side of the border are consuming FBI field offices. But wait, there's more. Wray also warned that the growing influence of worldwide terror organizations once again represented a threat due to the recruitment and radicalization of homegrown terrorists, a la what we began to see during the ISIS caliphate under President Obama. And what did we say? Oh, that's right. We just had an arrest. It was likely covered in the news. If you looked for it, you would have found it. But you had an arrest of an 18-year-old in Idaho, radicalized by ISIS, and thank God the FBI did nail him. I mean, to raise credit, said, look, we are being consumed by all these threats. Well, they didn't nail this guy, but he's going to go try to take out as many people as he could in the name of ISIS at churches. We're back in that place. So everything that Wray was warning about not all that long ago is starting to happen right now. And it all goes back to what I first said at the onset of the show, but well before that, immediately following the collapse of Afghanistan, from our southern border to Afghanistan, this country and this world is a less safe place because Joe Biden is president of the United States, period. Full stop. And sadly, that was as true back then as it is today. But hey, it's still no Trump tweets, right? I mean, for so many people, it's just too much. The, ooh, mean, uncouth Trump tweets, give me Biden, those people. I can't imagine sucking so much at life, just having your head stuck so far in the sand, or maybe in another place, that mean Trump tweets was enough for you to be this stuck on stupid to give us Joe Biden. It still is remarkable to me that given everything we've seen, there are tens of millions of people that are still that demented, but it's the world we live in. But anyway, here's the question, and we can make it complicated. No need to complicate it, though. If Donald Trump is president of the United States, is any of this happening? Is any of this happening? The answer is obviously no. Afghanistan never would have collapsed to the terrorists once again. Russia would not have invaded Ukraine. China would not have been allowed to consolidate and propagate. If Hamas had been dumb enough to try to attack Israel, they would have immediately been dropped into the dustbin of history. You want to know what would have happened to Hamas? They pulled the crap they pulled on October 7th. Donald Trump is president of the United States. So now we watch, we wait, we see what will be in an ever more lawless, ever more violent world. One that's lawless and violent because Joe Biden is feckless and incompetent. Although he is intentional. He is the southern border, completely intentional. And by the way, there is a new scam. There's a new border scam undermining our national security. And I'll end up bringing you the details of that. But first, let's go to Grant in Oklahoma. Grant, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. What's going on?
Yeah, but good to have you. What's on your mind?
What I wanted to ask you was that when Trump and Pompeo went to Doha on February 29th of 2020, and they signed an agreement and surrendered the country of Afghanistan to what other party? Do you remember? It was the Taliban. If they were defeated, why did he surrender to them?
So everything that was conflated ultimately with the Trump administration, the arrangement that was in place that Joe Biden tried to say that, oh, you know, the Trump forced us to do this and we had to withdraw and it was always going to be this way. And it only was that bad because of Donald Trump, this, that. No, none of that was going to be in place the way that it was handled. We would have left a team, special ops in place that would have been able to retain control of that territory. We would not have turned over equipment to the Taliban that then ended up a lot of it in the hands of China. So much of that was a false premise. One of the things regarding peace through strength that is so commonly misconstrued is that you have to have the full military occupation, the full presence in order to continue to project strength. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be there. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And Donald Trump did not enter into any kind of an agreement that would have turned over the country to terrorists, would not have gone down that way. It's a false premise. It's a false narrative. Let's go to Ron in Oregon. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show. I have got a little different take on what's going on with the border and what happened today when the Speaker of the House cast the deciding vote as far as letting the Pfizer course going on continue on and function basically secretly from the public, et cetera. It goes back to the old idea of the Democrats creating chaos and having a solution for it by coming in and actually taking control of various aspects of our freedom. So I'm kind of getting the idea more and more that this whole idea of the open border has a long-range plan to basically cause chaos within the United States, which meant that they had to solve the problem, and so therefore, we had the vote today. Lightning, which I think is really, really significant, what happened today. And so I personally even think that this phone call could be monitored. I'm very cautious about what I put in emails, even to my relatives, about some very bland things when it comes to politics.
Well, so, Ron, in terms of being tracked, there's no telling anymore, right? I mean, we have seen, given what the government, the federal government, has done to target conservative voices, to silence conservative voices. We saw this starting in the Obama administration with the IRS targeting. We have seen it through the use of executive action and executive threats at social media companies to minimize, throttle, silence, deplatform conservatives. So to the extent that you're paranoid to a certain extent, I do think there's validity to that. I would also say there's validity to, you know, what you're talking about with creating the problem with the southern border, the whole trying to fix it thing. I'm not so. So a couple things about that. First, yes. Look, this is all the playbook out of Rules for Radicals, right? The progressives have played the long game on this. And what we see, the chaos at the southern border, across the southern border, around the world, all of this, straight out of Rules for Radicals. It is an overwhelming of the system. And it is ultimately something that creates a demoralizing effect with a lot of people, to where they just don't know what to do. They can't handle it. Some people check out, whatever the case may be. In terms of trying to solve the problem, this one is more strategic than that. So the open border policies were in place with Obama. They were put on steroids with the Biden administration. And this is very much more insidious than just they want to solve a problem. There is no doubt but that there is intent to have these people resettled, to have them on government programs, to have them in place to potentially vote. And at a minimum, whether the illegal immigrants that are in the country right now that are just coming across the border are there to be able to vote in this election or not, which, by the way, speaking of the House Speaker and the former president, that's what they were addressing, election integrity. Talk a little bit about that later in the show, trying to prevent illegal immigrants from voting. What a concept. But if nothing else, the long game, they think, well, maybe we'll get amnesty passed somewhere along the way, and then that'll do the trick. And at a minimum, they'll have kids here. Their kids will end up voting for Democrats. It's all part of the long game that goes back to Rules for Radicals, what Obama's playbook was, what he was brought up with as a young man, what his political compass was. Biden is just seeing through that Obama mission. So that, I think, is more strategic. On the FISA vote, yeah, I mean, a couple things about that. You had the first vote that will clear a vote in the House on the new revised FISA plan. That'll come up next week. So nothing is firm today. You heard former President Trump speak about that, too. He said he does not like FISA, that it's been used against him, but he was going to let the House do what they're going to do on it. So it sounds like the former president is not going to stand in the way of this thing. Today's vote was a bipartisan vote in the House, but you did have more Democrats vote for it than Republicans. And we'll see the way that whole deal goes down. Let's go to Jane in upstate New York. Jane, welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you? Okay. This is something that's really bothering me. I want to see Biden held accountable. Last December, there was a report that came out, and then it was buried, that he spent $858 billion on a drug appropriation, first of all, to aid Syria. And it was something called the Captagon Act, and it's involving a very serious amphetamine. As a result, Hamas started importing that drug to go to their training camps before October 7th. Now, Biden knows about this. He knew about it. And it's insane. It's a very tiny pill, which is usually, they say, around 5 cents. Now, the government is getting $15 per pill. And you cannot tell me that Biden does not know about this. And this amphetamine causes something called bloodlust. It causes, I'm a retired abuse counselor, so I know about these things.
Well, I appreciate the call. And you take a look at, you know, the fentanyl situation in China, and where is that predominantly coming across? The southern border. And so is there anything that's actually being done to stop any of this, to really address any of it? Well, of course not. I'm Brian Mudd. in for the great one.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Israel's Iron Dome and air defenses were activated when 40 rockets were fired into northern Israel from southern Lebanon, along with two drones. I'm told by well-placed U.S. officials that this is not the anticipated Iran retaliation, but it did light up the night sky.
Yeah, Fox's Jennifer Griffin there is we're on standby to see what the theoretical direct Iranian attack on Israel is going to be. Good times. Good times. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin, and it's all interconnected. Talking about the wars that have broken out since Joe Biden has become president, the chaos across our southern border, the resurgence of ISIS and the threats we face in the homeland now because of it. Joe Biden's illegal immigration operation, it's actually worse than you knew. Just when you think the illegal immigration crisis really can't get any worse, it actually is. It actually has been worse, and we are just now learning about it. And actually, the only reason we're now learning about it, due to the outstanding investigative journalism of Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies. By the way, if you've not checked out any of CIS's work or Todd Bensman in particular, just phenomenal. He's in Juarez. Or at least he was earlier this week, most recently, and he is in the trenches getting the real information that really doesn't get reported otherwise. But anyway, his recent analysis and the CIS tracking of the Biden administration's migrant relocation program, which relocates processed illegal immigrants crossing the southern border. Well, it's shown what's happened since the onset of the Biden administration, but also more recently, they showed something else. Since the start of the government's current fiscal year, that started in October, there are over 326,000 undocumented persons who are flown into Florida by the Biden administration, most of any state in the country. Other states that have been the recipients of covert migrant flights include Texas, California, Georgia, Massachusetts, Maryland, Illinois. Now, these are not your run-of-the-mill Biden migrant flights. No, these aren't the ones where the Border Patrol processes the illegal immigrants after they pretended to be asylum seekers, you know, where they meet Border Patrol and the Border Patrol, will ask them and something and they'll go no entiendo. And then they say, what are you here for? And they go asylum, not that kind of deal. And then they fly them to you. This is much more insidious. I'll tell you exactly what's going on next. Brian Mudd in for the great one.
This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
This week's inflation reports dampen chances the Fed cuts interest rates anytime soon. And some analysts say the news eliminates the possibility of multiple rate cuts this year, potentially dragging voter pessimism about the economy closer to the election. The president defended himself over stubbornly high prices, pointing to how much inflation has cooled, but it was just 1.4% when he came into office, and all prices are up nearly 19%.
Yeah, I mean, details. You have to be making 19% more at a minimum today compared to the day that Joe Biden became president just to break even. Just to break even. And guess what? You probably aren't. The average American is actually making about 16% more. So the average American is 3% worse off than the day that Joe Biden became president of the United States. But yeah, there's the inflation piece too. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. Mark is on a mission. He's going to be back with us next week. As we are on standby for the possible direct attack of Israel by Iran. Whatever that will end up meaning. As we are taking a look at the utter chaos across our southern border, orchestrated by the Biden administration. The inflation piece, we had the inflation report this week that showed that inflation running much hotter than the so-called experts had expected and has actually been reaccelerating for the first quarter of the year. That's also fun. One of the reasons, the illegal immigration crisis. I'm going to get into some of those details in just a bit. Want to talk to you about the illegal immigration operation, Joe Biden's illegal immigration operation. The end of the first hour began telling you about the latest covert illegal immigration operation. And it's really the illegal immigration operation. There's a lot that Joe Biden has done that is unlawful regarding the abuse of our southern border, not enforcing our country's laws, the utter abuse of the asylum system. But there has been another program more recently they didn't speak about, they haven't owned up to, but has been uncovered by Todd Bensman, the Center for Immigration Studies. A program where we know that at least since the start of the new government fiscal year in October, there have been hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants that have been flown directly into the United States, directly into states across the country, mostly Florida, but also Texas, California, Georgia, Massachusetts, Maryland, and Illinois. And when I first was coming across the CIS information, when it first broke last week, I was thinking, okay, well, this is going to be the standard Biden administration migrant flight program, the kind where Border Patrol processes them, then they put them on flights and send them into your neighborhood so they can soak up all of the affordable housing. By the way, it's part of the inflation story. What is the single biggest issue for many Americans, especially those that are having the hardest time getting by? It's affordable housing, right? What's happening with all the affordable housing? How many millions of illegal immigrants? Asylum seekers, 97% of which end up in the end being nothing more than illegal immigrants because they're bogus asylum seekers. How many millions of them are taking up all the affordable housing across the country? All the affordable housing that's paid for by what and by who? Oh, that's right. Your tax dollars. So you have to live with housing inflation that you're also paying for. This is what the Biden administration does to you. That's just one example. But to bring this back into the underhanded migrant flight program. So no, this isn't the standard Biden administration migrant flight program where they cross the border, Border Patrol processes them, and then they hop on planes and buses. It is so much more underhanded than that. And it's more underhanded than I think what Americans would have envisioned. Even people have been paying attention. We are flying them directly into the United States, apparently from wherever they want to come from. We've set up an app. We've set up a website. And it's being advertised to migrants around the world. Around the world. As long as they say they are from one of nine countries that the Biden administration has extended full open border status to, they could hop on that app or hop on the website anywhere from around the world and be flown directly into your neighborhood if that's where they want to go. No kidding. No kidding. No having to make their way to our southern border before they could say the magic asylum words. No need to have to kind of work their way through Mexico. No drug cartels to navigate. Just direct access into our country's interior for seemingly anyone and everyone who learns of this from one of nine countries and wants to take advantage of it. Now, when we take a look at what's behind all this, you have CIS that detailed, and I'm quoting from Benzman's report. He said CIS began seeking airport locations plus foreign departure airport locations early last year in a FOIA request. They said the administration has declined, citing law enforcement exceptions. CIS has sued on grounds that the government violated the Freedom of Information Act. The information would be a matter of strong public interest to city leaderships, lawmakers, and voting publics to press for better planning of budgets and resources for those who might show up this way, or perhaps to demand redress from it, or demand that federal officials reduce or cease entirely the flight authorizations. As for the foreign departure airports, transparency would provide visibility into who the government is actually approving for these flights, enabling reporters and advocates to interview participants abroad about their circumstances and the government's application processes before the beneficiaries are lost amid general air traffic. And that's the next piece of this. The illegal immigrants who are making use of this from foreign countries that are hopping on the app, that are hopping on the website, once they hop on a plane, you can't tell them from anybody else. They are just, as Benzman notes, lost amid general air traffic. And that's the end of the story. You talk about the abuses that can take place. And the Biden administration refuses to provide any information of this whatsoever. Why exactly is this happening? Well, it's pretty clear because Joe Biden's intent is to create as open of a border as possible. But also, a border that is so open that the illegal immigrants don't even have to arrive at it. I mean, how beautiful is that? No, shoot, they can just fly straight over the border. Because they know the optics of the southern border crisis are a political liability. So this is the new, next level, nefarious border policy by the Biden administration. The politics of this are not good for them. Anytime you have a lot that cameras can capture and that people can see, it's not good. So we are just going to covertly put them on planes wherever they want to hop on around the world and fly them straight in your backyard. Nobody's going to know about it but us. By flying illegal immigrants straight into this country, they can achieve their lawless anti-American policy objective, all without the potentially damaging optics that go along with it. And as for what happens with all these warm, fluffy migrants, these well-intentioned people that are in no way abusing our system. Yeah, the illegal immigrants, once they get here, well, according to Benzman, same as ever before, they commonly have two priorities. Some actually do try to find work. Pretty much all of them just try to get on government assistance programs, whether they try to find work or not. And as for the cost of the rest of us, I detail this when I was guesting for Mark earlier this year. Little refresh on this. This is something I want you to think about as tax day is on Monday and you are having the rest of your blood extracted from you for the benefit of the Biden administration to do this with your money. The net financial impact of each illegal immigrant is a taxpayer cost of $68,000. during the course of their life in this country, the net financial impact is negative $68,000 to you and me. But wait, there's more, because it's just it. Non-citizens, they commit crimes at a rate that is 914% higher than citizens. The old narrative, oh, you know, those that are here illegally or the warm, fluffy migrants that are seeking asylum, they are much less likely to commit crimes than citizens. Be stinking ass. 914% more likely to commit a crime than an American citizen. They are responsible now for 24% of all drug trafficking, 25% of all property crimes, 28% of all fraud. Think about this. You want to get rid of a quarter of basically all these federal crimes, a quarter of drug trafficking, a quarter of property crime, over a quarter of fraud? Get rid of the freaking illegal immigrants. That's all you got to do. I'm sorry, the asylum seekers, approximately 3% of which actually are deemed in the end to be legitimate. And aside from being at greater risk of being a victim of crime, each and every federal taxpayer now paying $1,156 annually to facilitate it. Again, Monday, tax day. You think about this. You're paying federal taxes. You are paying $1,156 annually now just to facilitate Joe Biden's open border BS immigration policy. For the benefit of being a victim of all these crimes, for the benefit of all the inflation they're bringing, including taking up all the affordable housing. This is what Joe Biden has already done to us. Just imagine what comes next. And I'll bring that to you next. Brian Mudd in for the great one.
Mudd Lovin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel. And Iran will not succeed.
Boy, I mean, crisis averted, right? Problem solved. Who doesn't feel that, wow, Iran's going to go, oh, I really think we should rethink this whole attacking Israel thing. When you have no credibility on the world stage, that's bad. Then when you're Joe Biden and you just sound like you are as weak as you project on the world stage, just the whole thing's pathetic. I mean, I actually root for him. We need Joe Biden to be successful here. It really is not a good thing if Iran does follow through with directly attacking Israel. The implications are many. Including, obviously, things that could get biblical at a certain level. Aye. January 20th. It's a long way off. All right, now, Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. So we're talking about the interconnectivity between the weakness of the Biden administration, the lawlessness, the violence, the allowance for what's coming across our southern border. Talking about illegal immigration and the rising crime rate. So as I've been talking about, we have As is well known, the record levels of illegal immigration facilitated across our southern border. Now we've learned of the even more nefarious system that Biden has put in place where, shoot, you don't even need to come across the southern border and go, is this where I say asylum? Yeah, asylum. They don't even have to do that anymore. No. They can just go on an app. They can just go on the website and just be flown directly into our neighborhoods, into your backyard. That's how the Biden administration is doing it now, in addition to the, you know, standard practice, standard operating procedure of the open southern border. We've learned most recently that aside from all the gotaways, the approximate 2 million gotaways, latest from Custom and Border Patrol, they've encountered and processed a total of 7.4 million non-citizens since the onset of the Biden administration at our southern border. A total that in a little over 3 years is almost triple the entire number of the 4 years of the Trump administration. I want you to think about this. Again, there are a lot of numbers here that are pretty alarming. Just the ones that have been processed by Customs and Border Patrol through the first 3 years of the Biden administration, triple the number of the entire 4 years of the Trump administration. Then you start taking a look again at the cost of all this and the crimes. As I mentioned, the hard cost to us as federal taxpayers, now $1,156 annually. Non-citizens have been evidenced to commit crimes at a rate that is 914% higher than citizens. They're responsible for approximately a quarter of drug trafficking, property crimes, fraud. So naturally, if we have record numbers of illegal immigrants, non-citizens, I'm sorry, the official government term, non-citizens, pouring into this country, and if they're greater than nine times more likely to commit crimes, you're going to have a lot higher crime rates, right? Well, that's also what we now have new information on. The first 2 years of the Biden administration, crime rate information from across the country for the first 2 years. What happened with crime during year one of the era of Joe Biden? A 29% increase in crime in the United States. In the second year, an additional 6% increase in crime, a net total of a 36% increase in crime from Trump administration levels. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. The United States, we are a country of greater than 330 million people. Do you know how freaking hard it is to have year-over-year increases with that many people at a rate of 29% in any category? An increase of 29%? And that we're talking about a 29% increase in crimes committed from 1 year to the next? There is so much more here. I'll bring it to you. Take some of your calls, too. Brian Mudd in for the great one, Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
Mark Levin, an unapologetic patriot and unapologetic constitutionalist. You can reach him at 877-381-3811.
A top Chinese official in North Korea. It's the two nations' highest level meeting in about 5 years. The chairman of China's National People's Congress, who's considered the number three official in the ruling party, met his North Korean counterpart, promoting exchanges and cooperation in all areas, including politics, economy, and culture. The North wants to...
Yeah, so, oh, this is good. This is good. China and North Korea getting together again because, that's right, as we're awaiting for Iran to potentially directly attack Israel, Iran isn't just Iran. China isn't just China. China is Iran. China is Russia. Iran is Russia. Iran is Little Rocket Man in North Korea, who apparently he's meeting with Xi Jinping's officials. So they work out little Rocket Man maneuvers. And, oh, they're also Cuba, they're Venezuela, they're Nicaragua. Not a surprise that we are seeing the new Axis powers here flex, and that there's coordination at the same time that, well, Russia's been doing what Russia's doing, that Iran has been doing what they've been doing and what they may get ready to do. While we also recently have had a spy within the federal government that had been working for Cuba, that was found out. Oh, by the way, a lot of these things just don't end up making the news. Even the countries that don't necessarily have a lot of the ability militarily to flex, like a Cuba, for example, they're still working. They're still doing their part to be part of the whole Axis situation here. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. Mark is on a mission. He's going to be back with us next week. Do not have to wait that long to catch him, though. Brand new Life, Liberty, and Levin's this weekend. So 8 o'clock Saturday and Sunday Eastern, Fox News Channel. Tomorrow, Saturday's guest, Senator Ted Cruz and former Governor Mike Huckabee. And Sunday's guest, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and General Jack King. Catch Life, Liberty, Levin. Make sure you hit up your DVR. Always record those episodes. 8 o'clock Eastern, Fox News Channel. I'm Brian Mudd, and you can catch me, by the way, at Brian Mudd Radio, socially, pretty much anywhere you will go. And you can also check out the Brian Mudd Show podcast. I host the Brian Mudd Show, my home station, WJNO, in West Palm Beach. It is always an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. By the way, one of the things I often get requests on when I do the show, when I do any show, the sources, the information, I cite a lot of my source material rhetorically, but I also, in all of my blog posts, I always have the source material there. And so if you check out the Brian Mudd Show blog, you can find related stories that will have all the links to the source material so you can see exactly where it's all coming from, and you can go ahead and share it with other people too. All right, so as we're taking a look at the increase in crime rate, I last was talking about how remarkably, in a country of over 330 million people, year one of the Biden administration, this country experienced a 29% increase in crimes. And what happened in year two? Went up another 6% from that. So the two-year rate, 36%. And we only have the first 2 years. We don't even know. We don't have the numbers for year three of the Biden administration yet. One could only imagine. Right. I mean, it obviously has been getting so much better. Right. Now, what does that represent? I mean, when you talk about numbers this large in a country this large. Turns out the records. There is not another year in American history since record keeping on criminal activity began, since crime rate information was available, that we had an increase in crime as large from 1 year to another as we did during the first year of the Biden administration. There's never been a two-year increase in crime in recorded American history as large as the first 2 years of the Biden administration. Now, it's entirely logical, given the record volume of illegal immigrants that have been allowed into this country, and given that they commit crimes at a rate that is greater than nine times citizens, killing the age-old narrative, the big lie that is perpetuated by open border types that, oh, no, they're all warm and fluffy and they all just want agricultural jobs and a happy life and they'll never do anything bad to anybody else. It's these bad, evil Americans, you know, they're like the actual citizens. They're the bad people. No, they are lying sacks of poo, those people. They lie through their teeth. The people that are not here legally or the people that are simply quote unquote non-citizens, these faux asylum seekers. they are greater than 9 times more likely to commit a crime than you. I know. Shocking, right? But anyway, when we take a look at what we're faced with, you put all this in context. We are really at a point where things are getting ready to break. And so a lot of what you're seeing right now, I had a clip about inflation at the onset of the hour, and I'm going to be getting into the inflation acceleration. One of the things that's breaking right now, and it's one of the things that the economists, which are commonly wrong about, one of the things they're getting wrong is the impact of all of this on our society. One of the things that's breaking in our society is the economy. And part of the reason that's breaking, and part of the reason the Federal Reserve hasn't been able to get its arms around inflation, part of the reason why all those rate cuts that are going to happen this year are not going to happen this year, the reason that inflation is accelerating in real time, so much of it comes right back to this illegal immigration crisis. So we have things breaking from a criminal standpoint, so many communities breaking down. You know what happened in Memphis today? Police officer being murdered by somebody who had just been rung up on an automatic weapons charge recently, let out without any bail. Are you kidding me? And guy, he had this thug who stole cars, altered a gun so that it would be an automatic. He gets arrested for all this stuff. They just put him right back out on the street, no bail, because he got a Soros DA in Memphis. So we're at the breaking point in so many places with crime. We're at a breaking point in our economy. People can't afford things anymore. Housing crisis. Why do we have a housing crisis? Has anybody taken a look at how many freaking millions of illegal immigrants we're putting in all the affordable housing? Everybody wants to talk about there's no affordable housing. Why do you think that is? What do you think would happen if we as American taxpayers stopped paying to put illegal immigrants in affordable housing? I mean, it is unconscionable what's happening here. And it's also just amazing how stuck on stupid so many people in this country are, that they don't actually realize these things that we're talking about right now. But yeah, we have so many different things that are at that boiling, that breaking point all at one time. And it's why various different elements in our society are not functioning the way that people think they will. Even the ever so reasoned Federal Reserve, for example. I've got a lot more for you, including on the economy piece tied to illegal immigration. But let's go to Marie in California. Marie, welcome to the show.
I gotta go.
Oh, okay. Hello. So I guess, hey, Marie, there you are with us. All right. Glad to have you.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear, hello? Marie. Yep. All right. Oh, going once.
Thank you for okay. having me on Mr. Mudd. So I'm here in LA County. We have a liberal DA, George Gascon, and we live in a beautiful guard-gated community. We're in the neighborhood where some shameless self-promoting reality stars have exposed all of our backyards on Google Earth with their movies and their TV shows and their postings, and the Chilean gangs and the burglary tourism have caught on to all of this shameless self-promoting, and they know all the back roads into everybody's homes, yards. We've been robbed twice since Biden. The last time the robbers came with power tools and they cut open our doors to rob our house.
It's got to be terrifying.
Like 5-foot section. What?
It's got to be terrifying. I mean, my first thought is, why are you still there? And then my second would be is, are you going to stay?
Oh, we are original Californians. You know, we are strong, we are conservative, and there's a whole bunch of us out here. But the media and the local politicians and the people that are in office, they don't want to believe there's conservatives out here. There are conservatives in California. And even the D people are starting to rethink this because they don't like the way the crime is going. We've had on our streets encampments, motorhomes, prostitution, you know, all kinds of horrible stuff happening. just down the street on Ventura Boulevard. Because yeah. The liberal politicians.
Marie, I'm so sorry to hear your situation. I mean, that is, I can't imagine having my home broken into a couple of times and then living under that fear and everything else. And I mean, God bless you that you're staying there. You know, I certainly hope that you can figure, you know, a way to get from here to there. I always think in these situations, well, maybe the pendulum will finally swing the other way. But sometimes that pendulum just kind of keeps going. So I just don't know about that. In some cases, I do think you just have to get out. But since you're staying, God bless you and best wishes. Pray for you and your family and work a miracle with Steve Garvey. How about that? Flip that sentence. Let's go to Mark. Mark in Florida. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks. I mean, good evening, Brian. Thanks for covering for Mark Levin. The prior caller, boy, she sounds like an eventual emigre to the great state of Florida, where we don't even know what a state tax income filing form is. But what I wanted to say is, and it's funny, while I was holding, you actually nailed everything and pulled the words right out of my mouth, but illegal immigration equals inflation. As we know, inflation is a function of supply and demand, and with the increased demand of the illegal immigrants, everything is, I mean, I estimate the illegal immigrant population to be probably 33 million or 10% of America. And so the whole asylum process is a giant joke. You don't take an asylum person at the border and let them in, and then we figure out if they're actually a legitimate asylum. They stay outside. They stay outside the nation. It's kind of like that old Simpsons cartoon where the bartender, she said, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I don't care if they stay on a raft outside San Francisco Bay, but sorry, you don't come in and make inflationary impacts on the human, the American job market. And resources here like, groceries and apartments. So the whole asylum program needs to be ditched. 99.999% of them are bogus. We know that. The H-1B visa program needs to be pretty much substantially reduced by about 90%. We can have, hockey players and baseball players and a few guru techs that we need here and there. And, the farm labor program can continue. But by and large, this whole thing needs to be shut down. And not just that, we need to find them all and get them outside the borders while they get proper asylum claim processing. They can do
100%. 100%. Exactly what Trump did with Remain in Mexico. And you would have all the asylum process run with them on the other side of Mexico. And the funny thing was about all these faux asylum seekers, even a lot of them, once they were like, hold on, we have to remain in Mexico, they suddenly realize, maybe I'm not an asylum seeker after all. So you're right. All that works. Good call. And he's also right. A lot of people don't necessarily know this, but actually for the past couple of years, one of the top states, and at times it's been the top state, net inbound migration, California. Long way to get from here to there, from there to here, as the case happens to be, as I sit in South Florida. Speaking of Florida, got another one here, Daniel in Florida. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for letting me talk to you guys.
You bet. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so what's going on with the border? I mean, what do you think's going to happen?
What do I think is going to happen? I think we're in for a really long haul here because the Biden administration, I think what has just been exposed with this covert flight program is going to be accelerated. And I think they are going to try to reduce what you see at the southern border by increasing the net migration in through flights that are untracked and that even public officials aren't aware of. I think that's where it's going. In addition to, you're liable to see a crush later on this year at the southern border simultaneously, especially if you have a lot of folks that think that Trump is going to win this election and it's going to be, the kind of last call to try to crash the border. So I think we're in for a tough haul between here and January 20th. I'm Brian Mudd, in for the great one.
Mark Levin.
Yeah. Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. LEVIN.
Under a new law signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, public hospitals are required to ask patients about their immigration status when they check in. Based on those answers, 54,000 migrants disclosed they visited a hospital from June to December in 2023, costing Florida an estimated $566 million in just 6 months.
That's awesome, right? Awesome. Over $500 million in 6 months. Good times. In just Florida. That is Dana Marie McNichol, Fox News, on that report. What's happening in your state? How much is that costing you? You think healthcare costs are too expensive? You think your health insurance is too expensive? Everything associated too expensive? How much of that is being driven by illegal immigration? How much more are you paying for your healthcare costs? Everything associated with it because of them. We talked about housing and the lack of affordable housing. How much housing inflation is because of illegal immigrants? And the best part there, too, is we pay for it, right? We pay for our own health care. We pay for our own housing. Then we also pay for these illegal immigrants, for their health care, for their housing. They get treated better than Americans. It's been said many times, but it is on display in an incredible fashion. In that report about healthcare for 6 months in Florida, a non-sanctuary state, there are no sanctuary cities here, but the Biden administration brings them in. Governor doesn't know where they are, and they go about doing their business. Big problem. Law enforcement, even if they detain them, have a really hard time getting detainer requests from ICE because the Biden administration doesn't want to deport them. So what happens? Well, then they just end up back in society, because once law enforcement has done what they can do with them, if ICE isn't going to deport them, just let them go. You know, the top county actually in the country for pending deportations, the Biden administration's not following through on, it's actually Miami-Dade County, over 140,000 right now. L.A. County is actually number two, just over 104,000. Even when states do what they can, they're being screwed by the Biden administration. Talk about the inflation impact on illegals on you next.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in America with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, much, much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. My wife Julie and I decided it was time to add more flowering trees to our landscape, and Fast Growing Tree was a great resource for us. A large selection and no hassle ordering or shipping. This spring they have the best deals online, up to half off on selected plants and other deals, and listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. LEVIN. Now that's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code LEVIN. VIN at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code LEVIN. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit FastGrowingTrees.com for details.
He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
The expectation sooner than later.
I don't know. You know what he said? Mr. Producer, you have any idea what he really said there?
Expectations sooner than later.
It's all part of the President of the United States reassuring you that everything's going to be okay. Oh, actually, no, he was doing just the opposite. He was asked the question today about Iran directly attacking Israel. And his response was, yeah, it's going to happen sooner than later. Oh, awesome. I mean, peace through strength right there, baby. Holy cow. Again, January 20th. And get that old Calgon bottle out and just kind of take me away until then. Actually, it does sound pretty good right now. I don't actually know if I've used Calgon, though. The concept, anyways. Hey, Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. The Great One is on a mission. He'll be back with us next week. And I've been walking you through the paces on the quote-unquote direct threat to Israel by Iran, which has any number of different implications. Everything from a bit of a bluff, and they continue to do the proxy thing where they set their proxies up to attack Israel, to, I don't know, biblical territory in World War III. And when you have a fearless leader like Joe Biden, man, I mean, what could go wrong, right? So there's that. Also, the crisis across the southern border and how our national security is being undermined that way. And not just national security, but just regular security. We have record increases in crime in this country. We now know that. Oh, and the inflation impact. And the inflation impact of illegal immigration as well. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about inflation acceleration. So on the one hand, not anything you didn't already know. That's because when the Consumer Price Index report came out this week, and it said, hey, oh yeah, you paid a lot more for stuff in March. You probably already knew that. I mean, it's doubtful that you need a government report to know that the inflation rate is still high. And that it's been getting worse. Probably every time you go to pay a bill, you know these things. But on the other hand, after 3 years of consistently paying for the highest rate of inflation we have been faced with in over 40 years, you still have the hope, right? You have the hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that the end of that tunnel is not that far away at this point. And that's the bigger problem here. So entering this year, most of the economic quote-unquote experts believe that the era of extraordinarily high inflation had pretty much run its course, and that it would just be a matter of months, perhaps as few as a few, and certainly not more than six, before the inflation crisis would finally have run its course. Well, look at this. Not only hasn't inflation returned to more normal levels during the first few months of the year, but it's been steadily reaccelerating to start the year, rising from a 3.2% annual rate in February to a 3.5% rate in March, a figure that is now a point and a half above the Federal Reserve's target inflation rate. But even that breakout doesn't really tell the potentially bigger story of what's happening right now. In March, the year-over-year rate for energy was well below the overall inflation rate. They have, you know, these various different metrics. One excludes food and energy. Guess what? The one that excludes food and energy was actually even higher. It's at 3.8%. Now, the reason that currently matters, among other factors, is that, well, you've probably been noticing what you're paying at the pump. And the highest prices that you paid in quite a while. For example, if you just take a look at gas prices right now, versus this time a month ago, they're about 5% higher. And there's a bigger issue still. So you have oil prices. It's an indication of future gas prices. Well, they're currently about 10% higher than a month ago, meaning that there's even more of a cost increase coming at the pump. Also, oil prices back to the highest level since last fall. And what do you think is going to happen if Iran does follow through with a direct attack on Israel? What do you think that's going to end up doing to oil prices? So what had, as recently as last month, provided a tailwind in helping reduce the rate of inflation is in real time serving as a driver of inflation. In other words, if all other drivers of inflation were otherwise equal, inflation in real time is actually still accelerating higher. This much we know. It's still getting worse right now. Now, it's not terribly surprising because the primary catalysts for high inflation are still in place. Do we have record government debt spending creating artificially high demand? Check, got that. Do we have a devalued dollar due to the record government debt? Check. Do we have executive actions restricting U.S. energy policy, which makes us reliant on foreign sources of energy like OPEC? Are we putting money in the pocket of OPEC? Check, we are doing that. And by the way, this is worth mentioning the whole energy deal too. Not only did the Biden administration, did President Biden through executive actions, make us rely on foreign sources of energy again, taking us away from U.S. energy independence under President Trump. But you know the whole deal with Russian energy? You know how we were really going to stick it to Russia and, you know, that was going to take care. You know that Russia is wealthier than they have ever been? In part because oil prices are inflated, because we don't actually do what we could from an energy supply standpoint in this country, but also because of all the conflict. And did you actually know that you are still buying Russian energy? You know, one of the really great stories around the world, there are not many economies you can point to and go, you know what, things are a lot better there in recent years. One of the very few is actually India. If you take a look at India, like their stock market, everything, it has been the best performer. Why? So what happened when everything went down with Russia? And so Biden is going to make us rely on foreign sources of energy again. So we were actually still importing Russian energy after they had attacked Ukraine. Once word got out about that, he's like, oh, we got to do something. So then we did, you know, in a series of we're getting really tough on Russia policies. Biden said, OK, we're not going to do it anymore. So you know what Russia ended up doing? Aside from sending a lot of their energy over to China, they send energy to India. So India gets Russian oil, and then they refine it. They refine it into what it's used for, whatever that particular product is. And then guess what? It gets shipped out of India. And because we do not put any trade embargoes in place with India, you are buying Russian oil. So you are helping fund the Ukrainian war, the same one that Biden says we need to give Ukraine money for. Kind of like when, hey, we need more money for Israel, but we're going to give an equal amount effectively to Hamas because, you know, we got to give aid to the Palestinians, which it's all Hamas over there. It's where that money goes. Same kind of deal. So anyway, that is going on. Do we still have wars that are straining the supply chains, as I'm talking about inflation here? Or straining supply chains because of this leadership vacuum in the world? Check. So that's still happening. So, like, none of this stuff is complicated. But we also have something else that I've been talking about, and that is the record levels of the illegal immigration. You know, the only caveat that would make things different is if the economy were to enter a recession. It's the only way you could reduce inflation under these conditions. And that would simply come because of consumer demand. And, well, what do you think we could begin set up for, given that all of this poor policy is continued? Now, that is what the Fed has gotten wrong. Fed has gotten so much of this wrong, and a lot of it does have to do with the inflation impact of illegal immigrants in particular. So to the extent that the topic of illegal immigration is ever discussed in inflation, you'll have a lot of the whiz-bang experts, the economists, the open borders types, they'll say, oh, it's actually deflationary because of wage deflation. However, here's a given. With employment at historically high levels, the impact of migrants entering the United States, potentially working for lower wages than legal citizens theoretically would, likely would not have the same impact as it would during times of high unemployment, right? Also, no doubt that with a record number of non-citizens in the United States and ever more that come across every day due to the Biden administration's open border policies, what's referred to as the shadow economy is larger than ever before. So how much pricing pressure is coming from it? Could this be a significant catalyst for the ever stubbornly high rate of inflation? So as I mentioned earlier in the show, as we get ready for tax day on Monday, the hard cost to federal taxpayers now to float the boat for every migrant, every one of these non-citizens being allowed here, $1,156. That's how much you are now paying annually to facilitate all this lawlessness. So that gives you an idea of how big the overall national number is going to be. And we do get this. The U.S. House Homeland Security Committee has recently provided the big picture. So as of last November, taking a look at the total annual cost over the previous fiscal year, quoting the House Homeland Security Committee, they say the report details the immense financial cost of the unprecedented border crisis being borne by American taxpayers, including the cost for health care, shelter, education, and law enforcement, as well as costs forced on private property owners and businesses. According to one estimate, housing and other services just to those who have been released into the United States on Mayorkas's watch or entered, known as gotaways, could exceed $451 billion. $451 billion. Think that's inflationary? So that introduces one significant piece of the migrant inflation puzzle. Taxpayers ultimately on the hook for shouldering the cost of all that spending. But in the interim, how much of that cost is accounted for? Well, it's all additional debt spending, right? We don't have the money. So you have all this additional debt spending, which further weakens the U.S. dollar, adding to the rate of inflation. You have the extra demand that's created by the additional debt spending, further adds to pricing pressure for goods, for services, for housing that I've been talking about. And you take a look at the housing piece in particular. Of everything that is inflationary, there is no doubt this is of the greatest impact in our society right now attributed to illegal immigrants. When you hear these numbers that we have millions upon millions, and the estimates are all over the map, we know that officially you've had 7.4 million that have been processed. You do have some on occasion that get deported. You have all these gotaways. Pick your number. Whatever the number of millions are that you think are here that shouldn't be. Where are they living? They're not all homeless, right? And so we know that the majority end up on government programs. And once they're in the government programs, they get government-assisted housing. So they end up in the affordable housing. So how many millions of affordable housing units are taken up? What is the inflationary impact of that? And so you start to take a look at all these different pieces. I'm going to bring you the actual estimated number of the inflation impact attributed to illegal immigrants next. I'm Brian Mudd, in for the great one.
Mark Levin.
Federal source tells our David Spunt, Muhammad Carwin crossed into the U.S. at San Ysidro in March of 23. At the time, he was not on a terror watch list, so he was released. However, Carwin reportedly is a member of Hezb-e-Islami, an anti-Western group responsible for the deaths of 9 American soldiers and civilians. He was picked up again in February, but information about his radical connections, for reasons unknown, was not presented to the judge, so Carwin was released on bail.
Ah, man, it's good to know we've got such competent leadership to where you can have a terrorist who is responsible for the death of 9 Americans just come across the southern border, get processed and released, and then get detained again and then get released. Unreal. Except it is real. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin, talking about the inflation impact now on illegal immigration. I've been working you into an actual estimate, an actual inflation estimate due to all of the illegal immigration, all of the, I'm sorry, non-citizens, the warm, fluffy asylum seekers and the like. All these people that Biden has let in across the open border. And in some cases now, just bringing them in, just flying them in straight over our border from whatever country they want to come in from. You start putting these numbers together, and I'm going to spare you a lot of the hard details here. Right now, it is at the high end estimate. The high end estimate would be about 6 to 7% of the demand for goods and services to be coming from those lacking legal status. So I want you to think about what things would look like if there were 6 to 7% less demand for goods and services. What things would look like if however many millions of people that are lacking status but are here, if they weren't living in affordable housing units paid for by you. I want you to think about what it would look like if we weren't paying untold billions of dollars in healthcare costs for those lacking legal status, in addition to our own healthcare costs. So we start to see, okay, just for stuff that we buy, we're paying, the floor is going to be 3% more, possibly 6%, all the way up to 7% more for stuff just because of the warm, fluffy migrants. We're paying, I gave you the number earlier, just from Florida. It's hard to get these numbers because a lot of it's not disclosed, but in Florida, we passed a law, so we have transparency. In 6 months, over $500 million in healthcare costs for those lacking legal status. That bill is being foot by taxpayers. What is it in your state? So whatever that is in terms of healthcare costs. So you begin to put all these pieces together. You know what the inflation rate would be if we didn't have all this illegal immigration? About what it was when Trump was in office. You know what interest rates would be? About what they were when Trump came into office. It's what it's going to take to fix this, obviously, as well. Take some of your calls next.
The liberals and the Republicans don't like him, but America does. You can call Mark Levin at 877-381-3811.
I think this is an easy vulnerability for our enemies to exploit. It's the soft underbelly of American security. Mm. And it's not something that just happened beyond our control. It's something that happened through deliberate neglect of the president's oath of office. And so Mayorkas, as being the maestro of this policy, deserves to be impeached.
No question. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He was on with Harris Faulkner, the Faulkner Focus, earlier today, talking about that. And specifically, sounding off on the Afghan terrorist who had been released on multiple occasions. First, being allowed into the United States after having been processed by Border Patrol, after having not only the terror ties, but having killed 9 Americans. This is the Biden administration for you. Hey, just remarkable around every turn. Brian Mudd in for Mark Levin. You can catch me at Brian Mudd Radio socially, the Brian Mudd Show podcast, wherever you get your podcast, the Brian Mudd Show blog as well. I am the host of the Brian Mudd Show, my home station, WJNO in West Palm Beach. Always a pleasure to be here with you. And the great one, he's on a mission. He's going to be back in the fold with us next week, but you can catch him before then. Brand new Life, Liberty, and Levin's this weekend. Make sure that you catch them 8 o'clock Eastern, Fox News Channel, Saturday and Sunday. Hit up your DVR no matter what so you don't miss them. The guests on Saturday, Senator Ted Cruz and former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Sunday, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and General Jack Keane. All right, so I want to wrap up what I've been talking about with inflation and illegal immigration. Just before the break, it's breaking down the actual impact. And we know that at a minimum, 3% of the rate of inflation that's out there, bare minimum, is attributed to illegal immigration. Looks like very well could be 6%. The high end could be 7%. And I want to tie things up with killing the narrative about migrants being deflationary. Because the age-old lie has been, first, that they commit fewer crimes than citizens do. We've talked about that. They're more than 9 times more likely to commit crimes. They're responsible for a quarter or over a quarter, based upon the type of federal crime, of federal crimes that have happened. Since Biden became president, we had the 2 record years for crime rate increases in U.S. history. Not a coincidence, right? But one more narrative killer here. I've talked about the Center for Immigration Studies, the great work they do, Todd Bensman and his crew there. They also, in January, analyzed the impact of wages in the workforce, the so-called wage deflation impact of illegal immigrants, because they will work for less than Americans. But they only do the jobs that Americans want to, right? I mean, another big lie. But nevertheless, you know what the actual impact that CIS determined was on wages? -0.32%. So having all these non-citizens, all the warm, fluffy migrants, all these illegal immigrants in this country, the net impact on wages that has an impact on consumer prices, 0.32%. So the moment that there is more demand created than that, it's inflationary. And I just gave you the numbers, the many multiples of that, to illustrate just how inflationary it really is. So you put all this stuff together, and it's evidence that, one, there is no doubt that the net effect of those lacking legal status is inflationary. Two, the narrative that illegal immigration is deflationary under any circumstances is false. Three, housing is the sector of the economy with the most inflationary pressure from illegal immigrants. What's also a given, all these inflationary pressures are growing by the day. As the border is what? It's wide open, right? And so wide open that the Biden administration is covertly flying illegal immigrants into the country from countries all over the world through their app and their website they set up for. And it's likely that the reason economists and Federal Reserve governors alike have consistently underestimated inflation pressures in our economy, it's attributable to these realities. You know, economic modeling and forecasting, what is it based on? Well, it's based on knowns, and it's based on historical trends. But those aren't reliable when historic numbers of people lacking legal status just pouring into the country, often becoming part of an ever-growing shadow economy that we all pay for coming and going. All right, let's go to the phones. Jim in Arkansas. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brian. Last week, I was listening to Mark talk to a Congress lady from northern New York, and she was telling Mark about how easy it is for someone to cross or breach the northern border, and they go straight to New York City.
It's a great point. The northern border is every bit as open as the southern border. You know, obviously the proximity there is not the same. So it's a lot easier in many cases for those that are in Central America and wherever to go there. But of course, we know that so many of the illegal immigrants, so many of the warm, fluffy migrants, they're not even from, you know, this hemisphere. You got them coming in from all over the world, right? And so, yeah, in some cases, you do have people that are packing it into flying into, you know, wherever in Canada and coming across the northern border as well. It is an issue in, you know, untold there as well. Every single way that our borders can be compromised, they are being compromised. In fact, one of the items that's being worked on in the House, in fact, I think the vote took place on it today. You have a measure that is looking to expand the Coast Guard's ability to interdict vessels because we are pretty limited right now, only about 12 miles offshore that we can interdict in this country. They're looking to try to double that, because that's another problem is, you know, you have all the migrants are coming in by, you know, by water, too, and getting on land and then saying the asylum words and all that nonsense that way, too. All right, let's go to Tony. Tony in New Jersey. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. Great show tonight. You know,
appreciate him.
Great details, but overriding the whole night, and I have to always say this, you know, because Mark's on his journey today, this weekend, but we have in our office running our country a person who, now today we use the term Benedict Arnold, because Benedict Arnold sold West Point out. He was appointed to guard West Point by George Washington, and he got caught selling all the information about West Point to the British. And what I feel we have in our country that makes everything much more eminent, because the numbers are showing that the criminal activity of this government is increasing as we see the spike in crime, the spike in inflation, which is stunning. But the crime in this government is increasing as well. And I think, Brian, every day that this administration, whoever they are, sold out to someone, it could be the Soroses, it could be sold out to the world, you know, the world order. This administration has been going on tons of visits to different countries, humanitarian effort. Bill Clinton has been involved in all of this. Our country has been sold out piece by piece. And so I just encourage everyone to always remember that we are not in the regular same old government that's making honest mistakes. These are genuinely corrupt people that want to see the United States be broken down piece by piece so that we are just a shell of who we were. And
it's a great point. Now, I mean, Tony, you are right on point. I appreciate the call. Your analogy, I think, is interesting. I'll elaborate on that because I've thought about the Benedict Arnold comparisons as well. But I actually think it's in many respects worse than that. And to your point, you know, people, one of the things that's really hard for people who aren't all that informed, casual observers of the news or people that maybe aren't even that. Howie, I mean, okay, so things aren't good, right? I mean, you only have 26% of Americans that say the country is moving in the right direction. By the way, if you come across those people, I mean, God help them, right? Best probably to steer clear. The people go, yeah, this is great. Give me some more of this sweet Biden administration action, right? So you actually do have close to three quarters of the country that has a clue. But it's still hard for a lot of them to go, why is it that they would intentionally do something? I mean, that is where I can't buy it. They're trying really hard, and it was probably the bad orange men who did things that Biden just couldn't overcome, or whatever the excuses are, right? And the answer is right there in Rules for Radicals, right there in Rules for that. You know, if you take a look and you put the pieces together, it's not terribly complicated. Who mentored Barack Obama's young man? What environment did he grow up in? What did the book say? What's happening now? I mean, find everything that's going on in our society, everything that's playing out right there in that book. And I think that helps, you know, the context for why it is that, you know, you could have an administration, a president that would want to intentionally do things to undermine this country, to undermine the best interests of the average American. And on the Benedict Arnold piece, no doubt, you know, given the circumstances, because had Benedict Arnold been successful, this country doesn't exist. That said, in many ways, it's worse what's going on now. And the reason I say that is Benedict Arnold was a rogue actor, right? He was out there on his own doing this. If you had, even if it were the president of the United States, and Arnold, you know, Benedict wasn't at that level, obviously, right? I mean, he wasn't Washington. He wasn't leading the charge. But even if it were just Biden or insert another top administration official here and you had a one off, that would be one thing. If everybody else around was trying to do the right thing by the country, take, for example, Alejandro Mayorkas, if he threw down the gauntlet and said, no, it is wrong to have this open border, it is wrong to flout our laws. I'm going to do I am the Secretary of Homeland Security. I'm going to do my job. He might get fired. But the problem is, he is in on it, right? And all the other administration officials. So you have a pervasiveness to where you don't just have one powerful rogue actor undermining this country. You've got an administration full of people that are doing it from every angle. That is the bigger challenge here. And the one person, and don't get me wrong, I'm not giving him a pass on so many different things. I have many problems with Christopher Wray. The one person you do hear that does sing somewhat frequently a different tune is the FBI director. Christopher Wray toes the party line on a lot of this stuff. But when push comes to shove, he's telling you, I mean, he's using the words illegal immigrants. He's telling you that they're overwhelmed. He's saying that the threat is the worst it's been in this country's history. And that certainly isn't something that Joe Biden himself wants to hear. So of all the people in powerful places and everything, he might be like the only one that is not down for the destructive cause that way. Let's go to Danny in Texas. Danny, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Brian. And the corporate and political establishment, they want this invasion of America. And what the establishment wants, they get. What they are doing right now are neutralizing people like us conservatives to be just marginal people inside this country as they drown us out with numbers. Just sheer numbers is coming in. They want to flip Texas. That's why Texas is totally being invaded from the southern border. We're getting invaded to the airports, to all our ports and everything. People come in this country. No one talks about it. They come in the country with visas. They overstay their visas. It's never talked about because China is number one visa violator inside America, and China is business partners with the corporate establishment. And then you get every other country in the world, third world, is coming in here. They're drowning us out. They're creating, talking about inflation price-wise, but also inflating congressional districts of hard left people, political people inside this country. The Democratic Party, the majority of people in the Democratic Party want this invasion to take place. That's what they want inside this country, and that's why it's taking place. You have a lot of Republicans who want it too. Now, here it is, folks. The last 20 years, only two men in America were fighting the invasion of America. One being Patriot Joseph Buchanan, and the other being the legendary caller to talk radio, Steve from Manhattan.
I would say that the former president of the United States would have done more to address this issue than anybody actually has done previously, just by a little bit. I'm Brian Mudd, in for the great one.
Mudd Lovin.
That they plan to focus on here with regard to election integrity is the issue of non-citizens voting in this election. The RNC has been making this contentious effort in the courts to ensure in a number of states, in Texas, Arizona, and several more, that they're trying to protect the vote so that non-citizens cannot vote in this.
Yeah, as Fox's Brooke Singman, she's reporting from Mar-a-Lago. Of course, you had the former president and House Speaker Mike Johnson get together at Mar-a-Lago. They held a presser a little bit earlier today, and they did talk about election integrity. And there are a couple things that are really important about that. Remember how for many cycles now, the Democrats, they have their playbook, they execute their playbook, and then Republicans wait until after Election Day and then try to figure out what went wrong and then try to, you know, step in legally and do, I mean, always caught with their pants down. You hear what's happening here? There are two things that are important. The first and probably the biggest is not actually the proposed bill. Although if that can get done, that would be huge. The biggest is probably the proactiveness of the new party leadership. Trump got his people in there, including the family member. And look what's happening. They're being proactive. They're getting out ahead of the game right now. Huge. That's what we all need to be, is informed, aware. Become a poll watcher. Become a poll worker. Get engaged. Get involved. Don't sit back and go, oh, gee, you know, this stinks after the fact. And so that is huge. And on the election integrity bill that they're talking about, That as well is really significant, because one of two things is going to happen here. Well, it's going to pass the House no matter what. A bill that would federally make it illegal under any circumstances for these non-citizens to be voting. But it also puts Democrats on the record and puts them in a rock and a hard place. Legal immigration, already a losing issue for them. And what if they vote against something that almost all Americans agree with? So that could actually happen, too. So some good news here. And then you've got Stormy freaking Daniels in a hush money case on Monday, along with tax day. So there's that. Hey, it's been a pleasure. Brian Mudd in for the great one, Mark Levin.